The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Chinese Whispers with me, Cindy Yu. Every episode, I'll be talking to journalists, experts and longtime China watchers about the latest in Chinese politics, society and more. There'll be a smattering of history to catch you up on the background knowledge and some context as well. How do the Chinese see these issues? Recently, a couple of new Chinese phrases have made it into the mainstream on social media. Together, they describe a new sense of despair that Chinese millennials and Zoomers are feeling as work and life pressures become too much in the unending competition of modern China. What does this phenomenon say about the ever-widening generation gap between millennials and their parents today? And what happens to China's social contract if the young workforce doesn't feel that the government is delivering higher standards of living? These are the questions I discuss with Beijing-based journalist Caroline Kan in this episode. You might have come across her book, a memoir about her life and family called Under Red Skies, Three Generations of Life, Loss and Hope in China, which I reviewed for The Spectator 2 years ago. Caroline, welcome to Chinese Whispers. The two phrases that I'm talking about, of course, are tumping, to lie flat, and neijuan, involution. First of all, can you explain what tumping or to lie flat means?
Lying flat basically means it's more like a life attitude. It's like, of course, from like literally, it means just lying down, maybe in the sofa in bed, shows like you are not very willing to go out and work to participate in the, how to say, like the competition, working hard or study hard. That used to be considered as the right attitude. In Chinese culture, that you should work hard, you should study hard, be ambitious was always considered to be the right attitude. But the young generation say, no, we don't want to do that anymore because it's too difficult and we want to just lie down, lie flat. So that is how this term came from.
And there's also neijuan, which I've clumsily described as involution because that's what the English translation is, but I don't think that really means anything to anyone. So perhaps you can explain what that means.
So neijuan, the two characters in Chinese, one is like nei is inside, juan means rolling, so inside rolling. Yeah, maybe it's hard to, it's hard to imagine what does that mean, like inside rolling. So basically it means the competition is so widely, like you can see competition anywhere. And to join the competition, you input so much that doesn't necessarily like result in anything positive. So like you input so much effort, but you don't get as much as you expect or as much as it should result. So that is like a basically like a meaningless competition, yeah, inside a circle industry or in a society.
I guess like a hamster wheel, maybe, just like inside the machine you're running, and whether right. It's in work or in school, you're working yeah. really, really hard, but you're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, is there an English term called like rat competition or rat racing? Rat race, maybe.
Yeah, rat race, exactly. I think I saw a really good analogy of someone online talking about this phenomenon, which was that you're in a theatre watching a play and the person in front of you stands up to watch. Now you have to stand up as a result of that in order to keep watching the play. And at the end of the day, in a ridiculous outcome, everyone is standing up because everyone's view would otherwise be blocked. But the thing that you're watching, the play that you're watching, is still the same quality as it would be otherwise. So you're putting all of the effort in, but you're not actually getting any more rewards than you otherwise would be. But the only reason you're doing it is because of the competition from other people.
Yeah, it's like a vicious circle in a way.
And listeners might be wondering why we're talking about this, but actually it's quite mainstream, these terms, for young people in China on social media. Can you talk a little bit about the context in which that you and your friends might use these phrases in conversation online? Or even offline.
Yeah. So like the two terms are always talked together. So somehow they are linked. Because like people think there's too much Neijuan. So young people want to just tangping. It's like, oh, there's too much computation, meaningless computation that we don't want to really like join this game anymore. So we decide to lying flat. Yeah, I think that it kind of shows that, you know, the Chinese society, China developed so fast in the past few decades that, you know, the older generation, it was more like their life model was you work hard to get a happier life, to, you know, settle down in a big city, to buy a nice apartment. So all the thing you own come from the amount of efforts and time you put in your competition, put in your work and your study. But the young generation find it's not the case anymore because they feel kind of like all the opportunities are gone. Like they feel that the window is closed. Like, okay, 20 years ago, people were talking about, you know, all kinds of industries were like booming, like the technology, the computer, you know, all the like online companies. So that was an opportunity. If you work hard, yeah, you can get what you get. But today, young people think, no, there's no chance we can get what we want. No matter how hard we work so hard to die even, like you would never really get what you want. You would never settle down in a city. You cannot afford a marriage and apartment, and let alone like how many children you want to have in the future. So yeah, so that is like the current social background for these two terms.
Well, that's really interesting because from the outside, we hear so much about China's growth and it's doing so well. But the picture that you're painting is actually the most recent generation to go into the jobs market actually don't feel that at all. They feel despair and some of them are bowing out of the game altogether. Are they right to feel like that? Is society really high pressure like that at the moment?
I would say yes, because like, so as I just said, that the past few decades, people kind of take it for granted that life will be better. So, you know, my parents' generation would just took it for granted that, oh, of course life will be better because they lived through all the big changes in life. And my grandparents' generation, they even wouldn't think about having enough food or clothes. So that was like their daily concerns. But my parents' generation, many of them, they come from like nothing, the background. They come from totally poor background. But many of them went to college. Once they went to college, they managed to have a good life in the city. So for many, many, many years, that was like the life motto for every family. But right now, like the young college graduates, even they graduate from the top universities in China, they find it so hard to really find a good job because the moment they leave their college, they find, oh, it's not just about your score in school, but it's about like who you know, what kind of family you come from. And at the same time, the opportunities out there are much less. And also like education is another big like burden for Chinese young people because not them, but like their children generation. So everyone is saying the competition starts from the first day in school. That means before your child go to school, you have to think about what kind of apartment you buy, like in which region in the city, because that decide what kind of school your kid go to in the future.
Mm.
So the pressure comes from like earlier and earlier. Like in whatever you do, like early and early stage, you feel that anxiety and pressure.
Well, and that kind of explains the backlash, which I wrote about at the time, to the three-child policy that the government introduced earlier this year. A lot of people on social media were just saying, well, I can't even afford to have one child, let alone three children. What are you thinking? Is that something that you've been, a conversation you've been having with your friends as well?
Yeah, so yeah, that is a perfect example of the recent online discussions among the younger generation and the older generation and even the authority, what the authority think about China's future and what young generation view the future of themselves, right? So the government said, okay, because of the population is increasing slow, and also the birth rate is very low. So the government want, okay, just announced this earlier this year that every couple is allowed to have 3 children. But young people say, what you're talking about? Because I not even think about getting married, so let alone 3 children. Like, okay, 3 children, fine, but what are you providing to us at the same time? It's not like we are purely just following whatever government put out there. We have our own life, and we have to think about our life. It's not just about we sacrifice for the motherland. It's not that time anymore, right? So the young generation grew up, many of them like being the only child with their family. So compared to the older generation, they have a much stronger sense of like individual life and their individual right and what they really want in their life. So there's really like a conflict there.
That's really interesting, Caroline. And just on work, there's something called 996. Maybe you can explain to listeners as well what 996 is in working life, because I think it's quite a shocking concept in the West.
Yeah, so 996, that means your working hour in a day is from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And 6 means you work 6 days a week. So you only like take 1 day to rest, and your working days, you have to work for 12 hours. That is like kind of like a working culture, very popular in some of the leading internet companies in China. Well, first started from like the internet companies in China, but then many more like companies kind of like borrow this working culture. I'm not sure even you can even call it a working culture, but it's very like popular, right, in those big companies, because yeah, like they say, okay, you work longer hours, but we pay you more. And it's again like where the term Neijuan also like applies very well in those companies. So like the employees working very hard, they don't have any of their personal life. Yeah, so this kind of like you have to compete because all your other colleagues are buying into this culture. And if you don't, that means you are out, basically. And also Chinese, so Jack Ma, the boss of the Ant, is Ant, yeah.
Ant Financial, yeah.
Yeah, Ant Financial. Alibaba, so the boss of Alibaba, and he openly praised this like Jiuzhou culture, say it's a blessing. That means the companies are giving you the platform to be who you are, to contribute, to work hard, to give you the channel to become who you want to be. But soon after he said it in public that it is a blessing, he got so much backlash on Chinese internet, say, well, this is like a basically blood-sucking capitalist. Also, the current China is never a blessing, because it is your company as a boss or as a shareholder of the company, you gain what you want by pushing the young people to work harder, but young people don't really get what they want.
Yeah. Caroline, growing up in our generation, we heard a lot about our parents' generation working so hard and their parents' generation working so hard. You know, those are the stories that we grew up with. Do you think that this generation are legitimate in complaining about this sort of culture? Because they probably did work, you know, 70 plus hours in the early days of reform and opening and before then. So are we, you know, in the West you hear this phrase called a snowflake generation, you know, are Chinese millennials snowflakes as well and just can't take the pressure? Or is life really different for them now?
I don't think they is right to say that the young generation of China's young generation are having a harder life than their parents' generation, because like materially, for example, if we just look at materially, it's impossible, because the people grow up in the 60s and 70s or even 80s, is you can never compare like their life in terms of material was so poor, and many young people like never ever touched, have any experience of that kind of life at all, no matter where they're, if they are from city or from rural China. So yeah, definitely like life is getting better, but I think when you look at people's if they're happy or not, if they're satisfied or not, it's not just looking at material It's also about your dream, how hard or easy you can realize your dream. And also there's a sense of like collectivism here, like the older generation, the background where they grew up was like China was so poor, and China, like before the reform and opening up, or just at the big reform and opening up. So that was totally a different world. So at that time, that generation, I think they kind of like grew up with the idea that you need to contribute to your country and you are proud to be a part. You should be proud of a part of your country's rejuvenation and becoming rich and powerful. But I think that sense of like being a part of the big country is not like totally losing, but I think compared to the older generation is much less. So that means this kind of like narrative sometimes cannot truly touch or move the individuals anymore. So yeah, as I said, it's more about how optimistic people are about their future. So that could, if you know that your contribution or your sacrifice will lead to something and for your own good, for your own future, then probably you are more willing to like play the game, right? Play by this rule.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And there's something that you mentioned a little bit earlier as well. You said it's not that time anymore and people, young people today have different values, different dreams and priorities than their parents do. What does that mean when it comes to politics? Do you think that, I guess this might happen in two ways. So, you know, the reform and opening generation, they saw the Communist Party deliver economic growth and there was a social contract where, okay, we give you legitimacy on the basis that you give us rising living standards. If young people today don't feel like their living standards are rising, are they less keen about the government? And also, as you say, values have changed, so they're not growing up with these collective values anymore. So are they also, from their hearts, less supportive of a government like China's?
Yes, maybe, because for example, like very shortly after the term like Tang Ping become a internet phenomenon, some government of departments soon like deleted some original articles, and also the censors also deleted any like topics or deep discussions on this term because the government think this is not the right value. Like China is still on the way to become powerful and wealth. And there's a saying in China, like, I think it's from like a state newspaper saying why this term is harmful, because they say, well, we can definitely not Tang Ping before we become rich and powerful. We are still on the way. So this is not the right value for the young generation. But I think at the same time, young people think, well, but probably is that the last thing we can do to, you know, as a way to say no, because like we cannot change how the rules are made. We cannot decide how the society is running, but at least we can like vote in this way that we are not happy with at least the current situation and the current, the competition or the life of the vision for the future.
But do you think that there is an opportunity for the government here to address some of these issues? Because, you know, obviously the Chinese government is not democratic, but it is mindful of what is being talked about. That's what the censors are for. It knows that what the issues are. So, but do you think that there is an opportunity here, for example, for the government to put in work time reform so that people are not working 996 hours? And that would maybe, you know, solve some of these issues and, yeah, give young people a better life.
In theory they can. Well, they can say, well, we discourage the Jiujiuliu working culture. But in reality, like, do they really want to get involved too much in the like company cultures? And I think the bottom line is like, what can they really do it? Right, if they want to, can they really change that much? And also there's a question about China, like as a state media, some article said like we don't encourage these values because China at this moment, China probably cannot afford such values of like millions of tens of millions of young people say like, sorry, I quit Like, but China really need them to, no matter, right now it's like the China-US conflicts on one hand. On the other hand, China is really keen to build its own like influence and power overseas in some countries. So like China really needs like maybe a few more decades of the hardworking culture as the current young generation's parents or grandparents used to have. So China really needed. So like it's always like conflicts, but of course at the same time the government want to make the young people happy, to feel satisfied, to really achieve the happiness they want to achieve. So like I would say like there's really a conflict, and it's a matter really hard to handle, to handle it in a very balanced way.
How do you think, government and politicians aside, how do you think that the older generations, citizens in society themselves, think about this younger generation? My mother, for example, recently learned about the phrase and she was quite amused about it, but you know, she's not in that high pressure environment because she's in the UK. But what do Chinese older generations think about these young generations who are not just, you know, bowing out?
Again, I think it's hard to say like what they all think about, but I can give you a few examples. Like in my family, like WeChat group, I think recently those terms were also like articles about those terms were shared and people were discussing about the terms and the new phenomenon. I think some reaction that I gained from my own family members is like, oh, this young generation is really ruined. Like, then what's the point, right? Like, we worked so hard, no matter days or nights, in order to whatever they believe in was like creating a brighter future for them. So in the hope that they will continue and carry on this mission to make China even a better place by working harder, or as hard at least. But when you pass on this mission to your children and they say, sorry, we're not in this anymore, like we'll just sit here and lying in bed and to enjoy whatever you created for us, and we are not going to continue this this circle. So I think some of them find it's quite like disappointing, or they find or some people just purely cannot understand how this new attitude come from. So I kind of understand their way, because like there's a really a big gap between the generations. And it's not just like the terms of like Taoping or Neijuan, but it shows in every aspect in life, like how you go out dining, you go out shopping, you even spend money in cinemas. That was like, to many people in the older generation, that is not understandable at all, like how you spend money to like hire someone to clean your house, that is not acceptable. And you so there's really like a big difference there, because many young people now value more about their personal life, and they would spend some money to in order to buy themselves some time. But the time was the cheapest thing for many older generation people. Like, time, you never think about time can be bought and is valuable, because the most thing many people had was time back then. So yeah, there's a big difference there.
I guess that generation gap that you describe in all sorts of life is because of how fast China has changed. Your book details this so well. It's a memoir about your life, and you were born in 1989, and the dramatic change that even in your lifetime, and you know, other millennials like yourself, like me, that we've seen, you know, of course, if society changes that fast, you're going to have these huge gaps between generations who grow up in completely different circumstances.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I to be honest, some of the new terms online, I cannot understand. Like, from the people
we're old
from the age group, like 5 years, a few years younger than me. Like the other day, I was having a dinner with a student who wants to learn something about journalism, and somehow like we were introduced and we had a dinner. And during the meal, I was shocked. Like a few times, I was like, "What you are talking about?" She just mentioned the term. I was like, "What are you talking about? I have no idea. Like, why this is something I never heard about, because that's not in my friend circle. So that shows, I think that shows like how quick China is changing and how all the new phenomenon and new culture are coming every day.
And Caroline, finally, do you think that, you know, lying flat might actually be a good response to infinite competition, this rat race that we're talking about? Because, you know, in the reform and opening years, China became so materialistic, or maybe China always was materialistic, I don't know. But, you know, you had parents who, before they approved of their child's future spouse, would think, do they own a house? Do they have a car? You know, are they tall enough to have good children, grandchildren for you? You know, all these very tick boxy things. We had such a period of that in China, but it's the younger generation now saying, we're bowing out of this materialism. What I want is more of a, like a, always like a stoicism in life, a less materialistic life.
I would say I personally like these two terms very much. It's like, at least I think it shows, no matter how small the group are, that are really adapting to this new lifestyle. But I think at least it shows that it is possible that the society is not just, you know, one big wholesome thing, you know, like one, like everyone is
homogenous.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it at least shows some hope that there will be more like different opinions, different lifestyles, and only based on like people willing to accept the new ideas, the next step is like you go out and try the new lifestyle, right? Because right now, like if you look at the internet, I think, if there are like 10 people cheering up for this idea, maybe there are like 4 people, 3 people actually doing it. But at least it shows there are so much voice out there to supporting a different value, to support trying something different. So I think it's very good, and it's really necessary. It's really needed right now for the Chinese society. And it's inevitable because after the people traveling abroad or having friends from wherever they come from, and you know, after all those years of reform opening up, no matter how media keep telling people that China is really again like closing up or whatever that kind of argument is out there, but I think this kind of like new and different value, different society on the social and the cultural level, China is getting more diversity culturally. I think this is like, yeah, very good examples to show that.
Caroline Kan, that's such a brilliant note to end on. Thank you so much for joining Chinese Whispers.
Thank you, Cindy.
And thank you for listening to this episode. And to play you out, here's a song called Tumping is the Right Way from One Life Flatter, a musician from China. The song was originally deleted on social media platforms in China, but he then re-uploaded it to YouTube. I'll put a link in the description below as well. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast, do rate and review us and tell a friend about it. Thanks for listening and join us again in 2 weeks' time.
Tumping. 躺平真是好，躺平真是妙，躺平是王道，躺平歌也歌不大，躺平真的歌不大。